You're listening to the Enjoy Today, Own Tomorrow podcast, where you will find engaging and truthful conversations. Join us as we turn our hurts into healing, no matter what we're facing. Our hope is that you are equipped with tried and true practical strategies that lead to healing so that we can enjoy today and own tomorrow. Here's your host, Lane Lawson Craft.
Hey, I don't know, maybe some of you today are just restless, or maybe you are facing some trouble that you didn't expect. Maybe you're surprised and you're just needing some help. You know, maybe you're facing a trial that you could have not prepared for. So today, Lori Roloveld, man, she is amazing. She wrote the book, Running from a Crazy Man. What a title. You're going to love this. You're going to find nuggets on what to do when you are caught off guard and how to get back with God and find victory. You're going to love it. Let's pop right in.
You know, today, I know some of you need this encouragement. You know, you have been going, okay, God, I pursued you. I've done all of this, and yet my problems are still here. Today, Lori, you are just an answered prayer to many people. We are going to talk about, I'm looking for running from, I love this, crazy man, right? Y'all, it's an unconventional devotion. I think you're going to love what Lori has to say today. Lori, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and to talk to people, especially these days. It's a good time to remember that troubles don't go away just because we know Jesus.
Wow. And that's powerful today. You know, we, again, some of us have been brought up with the mindset that if you do right, live right, life is right. And that's a lie. You know, there are many people that live right and do right and face a lot of challenges. And specifically, we all have been kind of in that with COVID pandemic, all these things. Nobody is really living what they considered a normal life anymore. So this is so awesome. You've won awards for this too. And I just really want, if you don't mind, I always like to just challenge my guests. Is there a time in your life where unconventional faith in God had to show up for you?
Oh, many, many times, which is what qualifies me to write this book. Because, you know, there were times when I have struggled. I grew up in a really difficult home. And when I was a little girl, I could read. In first grade, they discovered I could read beyond, you know, like I could read and comprehend in 11th grade. But it was a small town. My parents couldn't afford private school. So from first through sixth grade, I was taught separately from the rest of my class, which means I was the most unpopular girl ever with students and teachers alike. And so spent a lot of time with teachers sending me to the library, go to the library, Lori, read something, write about it. And eventually they let me bring my Bible to school. It was the 60s. And they're like, fine, bring your Bible. If that's what you want to read and write about, that's fine. And I had come to Christ as a little girl in front of my television, a Billy Graham crusade. And I responded to the altar call. But like right away, my life was not wonderful. It was really unhappy at home. It was really unhappy at school. But the Lord met me in his word and, you know, really was there for me. And the church was the one place where people still treated me like a little girl and, you know, didn't treat me like this strange oddity or try to treat me like an adult. So right from the start, the Lord trained me in relying on him. And those years now, as much as I think the enemy wanted to use those to destroy my spirit, those are where that really forged my life with Christ and have stood me in good stead in trials that, you know, propped up again throughout. I'll be 60 in about 10 days. And so,
wow. Well, happy early birthday.
Thanks.
Well, okay. So, you know, let's fast forward a little bit. Now you have had some adult challenges. Mm-hmm. Is there one specific that you would like to share that where this meat came from that you had to overcome or
find victory? Years ago, I had homeschooled my kids and we had planned on me writing full time as soon as my youngest was done. And so we had planned it and I was really excited about it. My daughter was 18 and I went to Blue Ridge Mountain Writers Conference and had won the contest. So I was really excited. My daughter was graduating. And then my husband bought a house without telling me. And it was a house that was his dream. We were both turning 50. It was really his dream, but it was like, it should have been condemned. And while it was away at the conference, he kind of gutted the house. And so it was like, there was no walls, no floors. And I was pretty devastated. So, but he was like, I've got this, we're going to do this. And then he lost his job. And so we were in a house with no walls, no floors that had been gutted pretty much, you know, it was sort of livable, and he was without work. And I was offered a full-time job, which like sounds like an answer to prayer, but it was a really frustrating answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was on my knees before God, like, you told me I was going to write full-time. That's what the agreement was. It's what I've waited for. But the job was, during the job interview, it was clearly designed for me. I work with families who are at risk of abuse or neglect and really work in a really special way to keep them together. And during the interview, they said, well, there's one thing that has made everybody say no to this job. And I said, what is it? And they said, well, there's a lot of writing. And lo and behold, my first job is to write the family story in a way that people can understand. And so as much as I went kicking and screaming into it, it's been, you know, just a blessing to my life. And it was a way to write that I hadn't even foreseen that really helps families stay together. Yeah. So I write during the day and I write during the night and I write at weekends. So I work really full time, but Jesus was there for me.
Powerful. That is powerful because, see, you can capture what no one else can see. Mm-hmm. By words, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you can help families to re-believe in themselves when they see, you know, their story sort of written out. They're like, oh, we are worth fighting for. So that's been really special. And their stories have informed my writing and helped me to be, you know, see things in a different way. So the, you know, running from a crazy man, you know, a lot of them informed the stories that I wrote there and the Art of Hard Conversations. So I've learned so much through that.
Yeah.
And we have some walls now.
Yeah. Oh, you have walls now. Good. I see that. That's exciting. But I can imagine. I can imagine. It's interesting you say that. We too moved to a home that my husband had restored years ago. And no one had lived here. And we were within weeks of having to get over here, move our stuff. And I laid on the floor and cried. And you go, there's just no way. I mean, there's so much work to do. And, you know, it's true. I mean, our home is our heart. And so, you know, it's more than walls to you and I. It's our home. And so anyway, I just want you to know I can relate. And I was just over here. My heart just sank for you. But let's go to I just love this. I mean, you know, running from a crazy man. Okay. First of all, you got to tell me how you found this title.
Well, that's from the story of David running from Saul. And, you know, David thought he was, you know, headed right to the throne, which he had every expectation to think that he was going there because God told him he was. And then suddenly what all he's doing is hiding in caves, running from a crazy man. And, you know, like as much as that must have looked like wasted time to David, like, what am I doing here? We should be fighting the Philistines. I thought I was doing the right thing. And he was doing the right thing. But I believe God used that time on the run to sort David out and to hone his character and to really help God him understand for life that I will be here with you, whether there are spears or crowns or caves, I will be here with you. And all of us encounter that in some ways. Like, I think that we believe, like you said, we make this faith agreement that I'm going to do right and things are going to work out. And then when things don't, when we get a bad diagnosis or our husband walks out or lose the job or whatever, we really, like, that's where the enemy attacks us and says, oh, maybe you didn't do something right. When really, it's just part of the adventure. And some of us are trusted with more suffering than others. And, you know, there's a purpose in it all the way through.
Wow. So tell me how the book is laid out. How is the devotion laid out?
So they're very short. One of my readers reviewed it and said, it's perfect for the bathroom. I thought, well, I don't know if I want to like put that on Amazon, but it's very short chapters. There's a lot of humor in it. At my heart, I'm a conservative biblical Bible teacher. But like sort of have the, you know, I came up with a generation of Saturday Night Live. So that all gets mixed in together. And it's each story is just an encouragement from the Lord about, you know, just surviving something, whether it's stress or following Jesus when you're feeling useless, following Jesus when you're raising a family, following Jesus into the mess of your own soul. So just following Jesus when you love an addict, following Jesus in the aftermath of dashed hopes. There's all different stories about the different trials that we encounter as Christians, and then just finding the light of God in them and the humor in them. My dad was a fire chief for, you know, 51 years, and so he dealt with a lot of crisis, but he always was able to find some humor in it. And that's that attitude, I think, infects the book too.
Wow. Yeah, because it is hard to find humor in some instances, you know, that are so difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's even harder when you feel like, you know, like for years, I got the message, like, when your life straightens out, then you'll have a ministry. When your life straightens out, you can do these things for Jesus. And like, you know, as I was going along, like, okay, when does it straighten out? I don't understand. There's like, you know, not that I was a huge mess, but there's always struggles that come in. If you love people, there's going to be problems. And I realized, like, no, the adventure is now. The adventure is now with Jesus. I want to see him at work now before everything straightens out. And I'm glad I didn't wait for it all to straighten out. Right. So just to be real, to be authentic with God, you know, certainly life, you know, improves. I think, you know, we have ups and downs, but, you know, we were especially living in these times right now. I try to encourage people that as hard as these times are, we were assigned to these times, so we can trust that we were designed for these times.
Ooh, I love that. I love that, that we were assigned to these times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In Acts 17, God says he determined where we would all be in time and in space. And so as miserable as 2020 was, he was like, you know what? Like, you all, you know, there's a lane that needs to be active now and a lorry that needs to be active now. And if you're listening to this, then he determines you need to be active now. And so he's given you what you need to be here now and be with him.
So again, and I'm going to make sure I say it right, running from crazy man. What are some takeaways that you hope as the readers read through it that, you know, is it a daily takeaway that you hope that they can digest and apply? Tell me a little bit about what your hopes and expectations are for the reader.
Sure. It's the exhortation to not be surprised by these fiery trials. I think that that's the surprise and that feeling of like, I must be off base. I must be off kilter if these things are going wrong. And certainly there are troubles that we bring into our own lives that we need to deal with. But a lot of people are being very faithful and following Jesus, and they still encounter trials. And so it's that, look, don't get caught off guard. Don't be surprised by what's happening. We are going to face trials. And in fact, I think the closer we get to the end times, the more trials, the more Christians are going to feel pressed in on. And so we need to lean into that trial with Jesus and not be afraid of it, not just like hold our ears and cover our eyes while we're getting through it, but say, all right, I'm here with you in this. Show me where you're at work. Show me how I can function through this. This is uncharted territory, and I'm not seeing other Christians able to show me the way through. Can you show me the way through? And lead me to the people I need right now. And he will. And you will come out on the other side going, all right, I didn't like that, but I certainly am stronger now with you, Lord. And I can help other people when they face it.
Do you have, just hearing you, do you have any insight for us, Lori? And you may not. How to, like your dad, like how can we make light of something? Is there any kind of, you know, mindset you could help us with or thought process that might help us lighten whatever it is we're facing?
Yeah, I think, you know, firefighters, you know, see horrible, horrible things. And dad was always really hard on his firefighters that we don't ever make light of victims. We never make light of their tragedies. We take our work seriously. We don't take ourselves seriously though. And that's, as a Christian, that's where we have to be. Like, we take the Lord seriously. We take the work that he's called us to seriously. but we don't take ourselves seriously to really cultivate humility. And I think that's what a lot of our trials are about, is God trying to make us humble and lean on him and have the confidence of Christ. So confident humility, I think, is what brings us to that place where we can not take ourselves seriously, and we can find humor in the way that we approach things and our attitudes and in changing and growing.
Well, that's a buzzword for me in this season, is humility. There's different types of humility, and one of the ones that I think I know that I was certainly guilty of and confess is I didn't give myself enough self-worth because, you know, things did beat me down. So I kind of had, I guess we'd call false humility almost, because, you know, I was leaning into others' experiences of success and stuff to carry me through instead of, like you said, I think just the whole meaning of humility is just leaning into God, just handing it over to him and allowing him to move through us. What are your thoughts on humility?
Yeah, it takes the pressure off, you know, that like, I think that a lot of us, you know, and I usually talk to and write to Christians who've been Christians for a very long time. The longer you know the Lord, the more you kind of start to think you know. And, and we do know stuff and we should learn stuff. And yet, my dad was a dad who never picked, he would never let anyone else pick up the check. I was a child until the day he died. And he would, I tried to pick up the check for him once and he was so miserable. And that's how our Father, our Heavenly Father is, where there's never a time when we're going to pick up the check for him. And so there's that humility of knowing I am secure in him. I am in relationship with him. And like my life is not going to be, you know, I'm not earning something here. I am just with him and that's fine. So, you know, like all the goodness that I do, all the faithfulness that comes out, it's what I owe him and it's my joy. And so then when there are trials that come, I go, all right, Lord, yep, here's a trial. You went through trials, I'll go through trials. You know, we don't like them, but if you're going to love people, it's going to happen. And if you're going to try to live the Bible, it's going to happen. I tell people, like, you're so afraid of living the Bible because you're not going to do it well. And that's okay. That's where humility grows. Get out there, love someone badly, apologize for how badly you did it, and keep loving them till you get it right. And then, you know, humility grows and love grows, and we find we're in the adventure with Jesus.
Wow, Lori, that was powerful. Just get out and love. And if you don't love right, do it again until you, wow, we don't hear that much. You know, we don't hear that. We hear love, get hurt, and quit.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're tempted to, right? And as soon as we're down, the enemy is whispering in our ears, look how, you know, like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? You know, like, that was terrible. You're going to be like those, you know, the Satan has this like old warped mirror that he holds up of like, oh, you're going to be like the old church that did everything badly and stuff. And we have to say, you know what? I'm going to do some things wrong, but you know what? Jesus died for me, not for you. And I'm just going to keep going. So you just be quiet, because many times I fall down, God's going to pick me up. You watch and see, and I will get some things right.
Well, I literally said those words this week to someone I dearly love. I said, you know, I'm sorry. We don't see eye to eye, but I love you. And we'll just keep trying.
That's right.
Trying. That's all you can do. I think I love to say, Lori, and you'd probably agree, you don't lose the fight unless you quit.
That's it. And we are tempted. You know, there are a lot of admonitions for Christians toward the end that, you know, people's love will grow cold, that we will be tempted to quit. Hebrews is all about, like, stick it out. Don't give up. Don't abandon the faith. Don't pull over to the side of the narrow road and go, I'm done. I'm going to wait it out till glory. Don't do that. You're going to miss out on so much of just seeing Jesus at work.
Wow, that's so encouraging. Well, again, this is just a great unconventional devotion, and it is running from crazy man. So if people want to connect with you, they can go to your website, LoriRoleveld.com, and I will have that in the notes. Is there anything lasting, Lori, that if there was something you would like to impart and impact us and influence us with today, what would it be?
Yeah, that God wants you to work. Our Father wants you to work alongside him. Just like, you know, all of us, we didn't all have great fathers, but like we dream about working beside our dad on a, you know, build a birdhouse or something. Our God wants us to work beside him in building the kingdom. And we're going to do it badly, and that's okay. And so, but we can be with him and we can live an exciting adventure. There's a greater story. And sometimes we get stuck in the smaller story of our lives. And he's invited us into this greater story that happens at the same time as all of the other stuff. And so choose to live in the greater story. And then your life with everything that's going on in it will become the adventure that Jesus has dreamed for you.
Wow. And I guess the greater story would be love anyway. Don't quit. I mean, is that the greater story, or the greater story is that we end up in heaven? Which one is it?
Yeah, the greater story is that we have life in us now because of Jesus. So that eternal life we stepped into when we accepted Jesus, and that life informs us, and we can choose to be life and light and live in that story that I am being transformed, that these trials are, as much as they're hurting, as much as they're difficult, God is working in me to transform me through them and to make me more like Christ every moment.
Wow. Lori, you're amazing. I am so glad. Thank you for just stopping by today and allowing us and giving these nuggets. And I just love your heart. And you got to go get this devotion today, guys. I know you won't be disappointed. And I hope you'll come back, Lori, with your new projects.
Thanks. I'd love to. I'm working on one now with another author from Alabama. So I get to hear your accent all the time.
That's where I'm from. I mean, that's where I live is Alabama. We'll have to talk about that.
Thank you
for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Lori was amazing. I mean, she's been through it too, and she gives us a really awesome way to get back into relationship with God, or really just to see that, you know, even if you love Jesus, you're going to face trials, and we just need to allow God to move through these hurts so that we can find victory. I hope you got encouraged today. Hey, listen, I'm having a new book release party on Facebook, and it's May 6th, 7 o'clock Central. It's the Enjoy Today, Own Tomorrow Journal. And guess what? Right now on the Lane Lawson Craft launch team on Facebook, we're working through this journal. You get a free copy, and we're working through it every day at noon Central for the month of April. I hope you can join us. Come to the party May 6th, 7 o'clock Central. Come and visit us daily for the journal. We're working through it. Listen, you can find out all about this at lanelawsoncraft.com. I love y'all so much, and I'll see you next week. Have a great week. I would love to hear your thoughts from today. I am so thrilled we have connected. Would you take an Insta screenshot and share it on your story? Then tag me, please. Share with me what touched your heart today. You are the reason I do this, so that we together can build friendships where we turn our hurts to healings together, so that we can enjoy today and own tomorrow. Let me know what you'd like to hear too, and share this with all of your friends.
To learn more about the Enjoy Today, Own Tomorrow podcast, or to be a part of Lane's growing community, visit her website, lanelawsoncraft.com. You will find a genuine, honest, and refreshing group that encourages one another that healing is possible, hope is available, and the power we need is right here within us. Thanks for joining in, and we hope you enjoy today and own tomorrow.